It's great to see you all. I think this is what dreams are made of, eh? When we get so many diverse groups of people together in one room, it's an incredible thing. I said to the guys in Durban, the church that we came from, we were embarking on a building project. I said the best thing to do is to actually come and see the people in Pretoria. And I want to say to you Afrikaans guys, I honestly believe I've learned more from you than I've ever taught you. And it's an incredible privilege to be part of the leadership of this church. You're an incredible group of people, and it's an incredible joy to serve you in prayer and as best we know how. And I think a feast is an incredible opportunity to display something of what God is doing. And when you come to a church and you see a 320 kg ox, at the front door. And if you, any of you English folks are scared, you should be. When you see an Afrikaner with red meat, then you know there's trouble, boys. There's big trouble. What an amazing, amazing privilege. So we're doing a series on feasting. It's great to have you here. We decided to feast instead of fast because Jesus' work is finished and everybody's panicking in South Africa. And so we've kind of turned the clocks on things and we've looked at Jesus' way of bringing people closer to him. So wherever you are today, if your friends have invited, you haven't been in church for a long time, it's still really cool to have you. And everybody said to me, what about all those people who ran to the front and they didn't actually get their trips to Mozambique paid for? That was pretty harsh. You know what? Every single one of them got their trips paid for. Because the church here is actually amazing. There was a girl, one of the girls who ran first, she bought a guy coffee in the line last week. Actually happened to be a pretty wealthy, very successful man. She bought him coffee and he couldn't understand why. And she's a single mum. She ran to the front and I kind of ran away from her and he paid for her ticket to Mozambique and then somebody paid for her daughter's ticket. So when the church starts to operate together, we actually start to meet everybody's needs. Every prayer can be met by every resource inside of this building today. Every prayer we pray can be met by every resource inside of this building today. If we would just open our eyes and be kind. Amen? So friends, we're going to look at one of the very great texts of the Bible. It's Luke chapter 15. It's an amazing text. It's about being lost and about being found. And it's about a feast. And it's particularly about a feast when a son who's lost comes home. Now, I want to say to all you Blue Bulls supporters, we've got one of you on the braai right now. We just cut off your horns. So it's actually Bucky's Boerter there on the braai. But I want to tell you, in the same way that you celebrate when a man scores a try at Loftus-Versfeld, you should be celebrating when a person comes to Christ. Amen. In exactly the same way. And if we can do it for a pigskin ball with 30 sweaty men, then we can do it for Jesus with eternal values. Yes. Amen? And so we have to actually allow God to deal with us very deeply. I met a lady at the front door today. She said, I said, how long have you been in the church? She said, since the 10th. I said, oh, so you've been offended a few times. She said, I often go home and pray for you. I said, thank you so much. I think you should pray for yourself. So we're trying to find each other. We're trying to find freedom. We're trying to find the fullness of what God has for us. Amen? So let's have a look. Luke 15, three stories, and then we're going to eat. Clint's going to teach us how. Now the tax collectors and sinners. Say sinners. Sinners. You're welcome here. You're welcome here. Maybe you did something really stupid last night. Welcome to church. When you're at your worst, God's at his best. When you're really dark, really dingy, really debauched, really sick, really secretive, and really caught up, you're welcome here. Amen. We'll cook an ox just for you. Come on. Every Sunday, we'll cook an ox just for you. You know, friends, on the 11th of December last year, I stood up in this pulpit, and I said, I felt God say we must shut our church service down and go to NG Moroleta and speak about the grace of God over NG Moroleta and the unification of the church in Pretoria, that we can see this feast split, permeate throughout society. I said, I'm going to ask Choose Life and Dr. Deo to shut their services down. We're going to go there and we're going to bless NG Moroleta And I left it. I haven't done anything more. This week I got a message from the Dominie Badenhorst in Gemara. They said, Rory, I'm asking you a big favor, but would you be prepared to shut down 3CR on the 2nd of April with Dr. Deo and Choose Life and come to Enchia Moraleta and have a feast together? Yes. To have a feast together and to display to Pretoria what it means to actually serve God. Yeah. Sure. One loaf, one cup. And so the 2nd of April, you know, the beginning of the month is when you make your bucks in the church. I'm just telling you. Somebody has to pay for the aircon. It doesn't just fall out the sky. So the 2nd of the month, and the last month, those are like the important weekends. And you'll see sometimes you just forget to take up offerings. That offering on the 2nd of April, instead of coming to 3CR, is going to go to Enchia Moraleta. We're going to go there, we're going to shut our service down, we're going to shut our financial income down, and we're going to go and bless them with a feast, with an ox together, and in here more later. Amen? Yeah. And if you've come from there and you've got damage there, then you go back there and we're going to bless them. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Sure. Welcome to 3CR today. We are a church that welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told him this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. So what happened in the Jewish culture is that the picture was of heaven and of earth. And inside of heaven, everything was in order. And on the earth, everything was disorganized. Everything here had government. Everything here was anarchy. And so what God did is he gave the Ten Commandments here so that people could start behaving themselves. And they obeyed the Ten Commandments, but they fell short of the Ten Commandments. And when they obeyed God, he blessed them. And when they disobeyed God, he cursed them. And then they realized that they couldn't actually keep the law. So instead of God actually bringing heaven to earth, he sent his son Jesus to come and live amongst us and to show us what heaven on earth looked like. Amen? And then Jesus went back up to heaven and he left us the Holy Spirit to live according to Jesus. But what people did is they went back to the law. So they said, "Let's keep the law and hope God blesses us." And so they believed that the more they could replicate behavior on earth that looked like behavior in heaven, they would get blessed. But now this is what the Bible says. When one person gives their life to the Lord, heaven throws a party. When one person gives their life to the Lord in the church, my conservatism stops me from throwing a party. So when that guy, But in the church, we just stand. No, in the church, friends, every time a sinner gets saved, we should kill a 320 kg ox. We should invite all our friends and say, "Listen here, guys, it's a very expensive meal, but we're going to stop everything and we're going to celebrate, we're going to drink, we're going to eat, because one person has got saved and they're rejoicing up there, we're going to rejoice down here."
Beautiful.
Amen. That's ridiculous, like properly. Like, And we are not going to allow the confines of religion to determine how we behave on earth, because the Bible says heaven has come down to earth in the form of Jesus. And actually now we won. So as heaven rejoices, so does earth rejoice. And we can shut down the 2nd of April and we can go to Enkia Moroleta and we rejoice together as one meal. And God's going to restore things and God is going to bless that church and God is going to use us. And we raise our hands. I think they're going to Dominie Khan himself. Ek het amper iets gesê, nee. Maar ek het nie. Ek wil net sê, my die Here jou seën, Dominie. Ons kom. Almal van ons. Maar jy mag nie kortbroek aandra nie, hoor. Of sloppies. Plakkies. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one, does she not light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Amen. If I took that silver coin and I hid it in this building, and I turned off the lights with 2,500 people searching all night, we would not be able to find that coin. There is something about a sinner that is completely helpless. I am here not because of anything that I did that deserves me to be here. And I know people have got unbelievably agitated as I've gone after advocates and lawyers and professors and educated people. But there is nothing in my self-works or success that allows me to celebrate with God, with the sinners, because actually, like that coin, I'm completely and utterly hopeless. I am helpless. I cannot be found unless the Holy Spirit turns on the light and actually starts to see a little bit of a glimmer. And when he sees a glimmer, he comes towards me. That's why, friends, we can stand around an ox, every single one of us, and never have to be ashamed of what we've done or haven't done. Because heaven is celebrating. Whether you're a sheep gets lost by wandering. A coin gets lost by being misplaced. And the son, the third story, gets lost by willfully disobeying God. And whether you're here because you've wandered or been misplaced or you've disobeyed God, I want to say welcome to the feast. Amen? And when we understand that, friends, there will never be an inner circle inside of the church. There will never be politics. We will never ever look down at somebody. I flew back yesterday on the airplane. I sat next to a man. He was the first black man to go to one of the private schools in South Africa. 40 years ago, next year, he celebrates his reunion, his 40th reunion. He still carries deep inside of his heart the pain of the names that he was called. Deep inside of me, 40 years later. And I felt like saying to him, Mr. Shabalala, come to the feast tomorrow. Come to the feast where we can find a unity, when we can find a togetherness, not on my performance or my attractiveness or my success or my abilities, but on Christ and Christ alone. Amen? Amen? Beautiful. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me. Say, give me. Give me. Now, there'll be many here that just say to God, give me. Give me money, give me job, give me success, give me a promotion. Just give me, give me. Give me, give me, give me, give me. A man after midnight. Just looking for something from God. Give me my share of the estate. This was like the greatest disgrace. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, There was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'" One of the great shifts of Christianity is to go from "give me" to "make me." It is one of the great shifts of Christianity. Give me, make me. Give me, make me. So when I went back to my church that I led for 15 years, not my church, God's church in Durban, I sat with the elders in the room that many of us prayed in. Some of you would have grown up under Matt Redman's music. Matt Redman was probably one of the most famous musicians in the world at one stage. And he came to play at our church. We had a full hall, 3,000 people. I went into the room that I met the elders with this week. I went into that room with Matt Redman, and he got on his knees, and he started to sing, "I'm coming back to the heart of worship, because it's all about you, Lord. Amen. It's all about you." And that time, God called him in that room in Durban. God called him to worship before God, not before men. And when I left that room, the guy said to me, "Rory, you're different to the man who left here 10 years ago. And I can only say thank you to you. Because I came here wanting something, and actually God's changed me. I hope in all my nonsense and all my offensiveness, you find a man who is passionately committed to preaching Christ to you without any attachment. It's Christ plus nothing, Christ minus nothing. And when we understand that, we'll start to build a community that can shut its church down and go to NGO Moraletta and give them their money, because we are perfectly reliant on Jesus. We don't have to hype up the meetings. We don't have to hype up the audience. We don't have to stand up here and say, sing church, either you sing or you don't. Either you participate or you don't. Either you participate of the ox or you get in your car and you drive away. I can't force you. But Lord God, make me more like Jesus. Make me soft. Make me this guy. I told a story. This guy said to me, he said, "Rory, when you came here, you started just feeding people. And actually, before you came here, the church, we used to bring our own food to the leaders' meetings. We all used to participate, and there was a sort of a togetherness. And then you came here, and you started blessing people." I said, "Yeah, but I thought I was doing them a favor." He said, "But you're taking away one of the great building blocks of this church, is that all of us play a part. I got up here, you weren't here." I said, "I'm really sorry. We turned it around. Now we have our leaders' meeting. Everybody brings something." You see, friends, we don't have it all together. You say, "Why not bring anything today?" Because it's a different meal today. The meal today is you come with nothing and you feast. The next time we come, you'll come with a bring and share. But actually, this church was built on bring and share. This church was everybody's got a gift. Everybody's got a part to play. Everybody has got something to offer. And so you taught me something, Mark. It was actually her. It wasn't him, it was her. Amen? But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. How many of you have pulled a hamstring in a father's race? Put your hand up. Yeah, you see that thing, eh? You just arrive there and you think, You touch your toes twice, and as you hit the 40 lot, I was horrified on a touch rugby field at Durban University at 34 years old when I took the gap. And they say the older I get, the faster I was. As I took that gap and my hamstring just went, "Quah!" I thought, there's no ways. I was sitting down at the rugby yesterday. My son played for the Natal under 20 side. I was sitting down there, and this guy comes. He must have been 48 years old. He said, "Hoe gaan het, oom?" I thought, oom Josin, flipping, wie's jou oom? And then Clint and I were together, and he says, hey, it's just like father and son, you know? So flip. That's what Pretoria has done to me. This is my favorite scripture in the whole Bible. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. Have you been here before, sir? You. You've never been here before. What's your name? Ruan. I don't know, but whenever I look around this auditorium, I just keep looking at you. I see you. My heart is filled with deep compassion for you. If I could get across this bearded monster here. I would just run towards you and hug you and say, welcome to our church. I don't think you're a sinner. I don't think you, but I just want to say welcome to our church. And because you've invited friends here, you've heard the story many times, but I have a friend called Nicholas Graham who got saved out of drugs. He got saved at a funeral. And he served God for a long time, and then he backslid, and he came back to our church. And he sat me down one day, and he said, it's easier to come back to God than it is to come back to the church. On this scripture, and that day I made a decision that we're going to build a church where it's easy for sinners to come back. And I want to say this, if you get it in your mind and you only visit us once, when you are at your worst, God is at his best. Amen. When you are at your worst, God is at his best. I have a running, compassionate, kind, wonderful God. And this guy got lost because he disobeyed God. He disobeyed his orders. He took his inheritance. He squandered it. And he came back and God ran at him. And I don't care what you've done, how you've squandered, how you've disobeyed, how you've lived a wild and free life. It says here on prostitutes and booze and probably cocaine. You're welcome back in this room. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. That's the credit card of the family. And there was a crest. You'd go to the shop. You'd melt some wax, you'd put your family crest in there, and it'd say, charge it to my dad. He's lost his inheritance, he's lost his estate, he's completely indebted, and the first thing God does is give him back the credit card. You say, but dad, you can't, but because I have, he says, credit card. Dad, is there a limit on this? No limit. Can I go and spend? Yes. Who must I charge it to? Me. How much? As much as you like. He put him back in credit. You can put that picture up if you don't mind. That's one of the most famous paintings ever painted. It's called The Prodigal Son by Rembrandt. And if you look at his hands, on the left-hand side is a strong hand of a father. On the right-hand side is a gentle hand of a mother. On the right is a Pharisee standing straight upright, looking down at one of the most compassionate events in human history. With a red cloak, and you can see the pressure of the fingers is pulling his son towards his chest. He's got no shoes. His shoes are completely worn out. He's dirty. But his father's embracing him while religion stares at him. Let's keep reading. the Son of Man was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Say celebrate. Celebrate. Say celebrate. Celebrate. Say celebrate. Celebrate. Francois, you won't let me down. Why don't you stand? On your chair. Yeah, on your chair. This man is many things. I've said this to you before, those who don't know. He has a brother in ministry, and many times we say, oh, his brother's in ministry. His nephew was also the captain of the Proteas cricket team. But one day when I was sick, he sent me a scripture. I call him Mr. Habakkuk. He sent me a scripture from Habakkuk. When I asked God if I'd ever preach again, when I was lying in my bed sick, he sent me a scripture. The very preach I ever preached on, he sent it. He said, I've been praying for you today, my friend. And this is a scripture God gave me. In my devotion, I said, Lord, will I ever preach again? When the blue bulls score a try or your nephew Fuff hits a six, what do you do? Cheer. Sorry?
I cheer.
You cheer?
Yeah.
Cheer or cheer?
Cheer.
Well, show us, bro. Show us. Show us how you cheer.
Yes!
No, properly, bro. Properly. Properly.
Yes!
Stay there. Stay there. And when somebody gets saved, how do you do it? So they began to celebrate. They began to celebrate. We have done a series on feasting, friends, to take on the religious systems of how our conservatism has crept into our hearts because we do not understand the eternal value of one person getting saved. We take it for granted that every week God adds new people to our church. No, when one person gets saved, when one sheep gets found, when one coin gets illuminated, they stop the whole thing, they kill a fat ox, and they have a party. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. Say the dancing. Okay, let's stand, guys. Is jy honger? Is jy dors? That's what they say. Is jy honger? Is jy dors? Nou gaan ons dans. No, no, not like that, my mate. No, not like that. No, no, let's see. Let's see a little bit. Let's see a little bit. Let's see. I'm watching you, advocates. Where are you, advocates? I'm watching you. Are you? Yeah, yeah. Gussie. Gussie. Derby? Yeah. PSG. Yeah. Now, come on, guys, let's get a little bit of moving. Get a little bit of moving. Hey, I'm going to call you by name. Yeah, whoa. Yeah, yay. Whoa. Yay. Thank you. Let's go. Keep standing. Over one sinner. Please, can you send the video to Dr. Dominee Badenhorst? Tell him, ons kom. Die 2 April. And we might be weird, but we're part of the same celebration. Friends, we're going to build a church that celebrates when one person comes to Christ. When one person comes to Christ. And if you've got your parents here for the first time, welcome. Sê vir jou NG maatjies, ons kom. Friends, we cannot allow our culture and our preference to set the standard of our faith. It is all by grace, and if you understand that, then your response will be spontaneous and will override your preconceived ideologies and your upbringing. If you do not understand, and I do not understand, that I'm a sinful, deeply depraved man, like a lost coin, it was impossible to find. You see, this scripture, friends, is about a father who ran at his son. It's about a son, Jesus, who went and looked for the lost coin, went to look for the lost sheep, and it's about the Holy Spirit who is hovering, or as my Zulu friend says, hoovering. Hoovering over Pretoria. So I have the Father, and I have the Son, and I have the Holy Spirit hovering. I don't know how it happened for you, but it happened for me like this. I had a brain tumor lying in Essenwood Road, all by myself, scared. I'd been head boy of my school and captain of rugby. I was arrogant. I thought I was going to be the president of the country. I thought so much of myself. I had so much self-belief. And for one moment, I got unbelievably scared. And I said, God, I don't know what my future would hold. And the Holy Spirit started to hover. And he started to show me things in my heart. And the shepherd came and found me. And I walked into St. Thomas Church in Musgrave Road by myself, shaking like a leaf. And I went and bowed down at the altar. And I said, Lord God, please will you fix my head. If I die, I want to come to heaven. If I live, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. I don't know why you're here. I don't know why you're here this morning. I don't know who invited you. But however lost you are, whether it is by your own wandering, whether you got misplaced, or whether you have defied God, I want to say to you, welcome home. In Jesus' name. When he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. Many people leave this church because of the music and the dancing. Many leave this church because of the music and the dancing. It's one of the reasons why you should join the church. It's because of the music and the dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We just decided to kill an ox, 320 kgs. How many will it feed? They say 700. He killed the fattened ox calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never, never, ever, ever disobeyed your orders. Friends, I've served God for 35 years. About 20 of those years, I never disobeyed God. I served him as best I could. I gave him my money. I gave him my time. I came to prayer meetings. I went to double Sunday services. I went to leaders' meetings. I traveled around the world. I preached the gospel, and I got exhausted. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Who are we having the feast for today? We're having the feast for sinners like myself who squandered much of the early years of my life. And for sinners like you who have come to know the grace of God. My son, the father said, you're always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad. Because this brother of yours was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. Amen. I just want to bring this one point to us. The very, very worst thing in Israel was a pig. The very worst thing was a pig. You didn't have anything to do with a pig. When Jesus cast out the demons, he cast them into the pigs. 2,000 went over and drowned themselves. The very worst thing was a pig. And the picture of this son was that he was so lost and so low and so debauched that he ended up feeding the very worst thing in Israel. He ended up feeding the pig. Like some of you feed cocaine. Like some of you feed pornography. Like some of you feed the most despicable things possible. And you say to me, Rory, is there any hope for me? I don't care how low you go. Jesus went lower.
Yes, amen.
I don't care how wide you go, how far you wandered. He went further. I don't care how lost you are with absolutely no ability to be found. The Holy Spirit will illuminate you. And so whether you're deep or whether you're wide or whether you have absolutely no hope, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit specialize in those who are lost so that they may be found. And we might, say it,
celebrate.
Welcome 3CR to the feast of all feasts. 10 sheep, 1 ox, 100 kgs of steak, 100 kgs of bourivores, and enough food, hopefully, that will feed 5,000 when it's all over. God bless you.